We're taking our Bible reading this morning from the New Testament in the book of Hebrews and chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we will break into the chapter at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. But then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Amen. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Now I'd like you to open your Bible with me, please, at the portion of scripture we read in Hebrews chapter 9. And the verse 19 says this, the very first verse that we read together. And when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. He sprinkled both the book and all the people. Very, very simply, for the time that is given to us this morning, we want to center our thoughts upon the significance and the importance of God's precious word. Because no matter how you consider the scriptures, you have to come to this conclusion, that God's word is a blood-stained and a blood-sprinkled book. Now in Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 19, the inspired writer is, of course, taking us back to Exodus chapter 24. And he's taking us back to the rite that was followed by Moses after he'd received the words of God for the people of that day. In Exodus chapter 24 and the verse 4, the Bible says this, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." See, the words that were given by God to Moses, then Moses takes them and he puts them in a book to be preserved and to be read. Read to the people and by the people for the generations to come. In that same chapter of Exodus 24 and verse 7, the Bible says that the book was called the Book of the Covenant. In other words, it was a book that contained all the laws given by God to Moses in the preceding chapters of Exodus 21, 22, and 23. And having written the words of the law and put them in a book, we read that Moses then took the book of the covenant and he read it in the audience of the people. In other words, what God had told him He has written down. Now he is reading it to the people. It is the word of God. Maybe to some degree we could say that that was the first copy of the scriptures. It was the word of God to Israel there. None of us are in any doubt, of course, that the book in your hand is the word of God. And the Bible reminds us how this book came to be. For in 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 21 we read these words, that holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, they were not the mere words of a human being. God put it into their mind, they wrote it down, and you and I have the scriptures before us today. Samuel Chadwick, great preacher of a bygone day, he said this, I have worked over the Bible, prayed over the Bible for more than 60 years. And I tell you, there is no book like the Bible. It's a miracle of literature. It's a perennial spring of wisdom. It is a book of wonderful promises. It's a revelation of divine mystery. An infallible guide of conduct. An unspeakable source of comfort. He went on to say that when we are down, it is the scriptures that can lift us up. When we are discouraged, it is the scriptures that can encourage us. When we are lost in sin, it is the scriptures guide us to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is no book like God's book. Its words are to be cherished by all, and especially by those who know its author. And I trust you know the author of the Bible today. You see, it's very possible to know much of the Bible and yet not know the author of the Bible personally, having never put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. James Gray, another preacher of a bygone day, wrote these very, very important words regarding God's truth. He said, where childhood needs a standard, or youth a beacon light, where sorrow sighs for comfort, or weakness longs for might, bring forth the Holy Bible, the Bible, there it stands, resolving all life's problems and meeting life's demands. In our text for this morning, we have a statement that lifts and distinguishes the scriptures, God's word, from the ordinary into the extraordinary, from the natural to the supernatural, from being merely a product of human minds to being God's infallible word. Holy men speak as they were moved. The writer to the book of Hebrews says that Moses sprinkled both the book and all the people. For a little time, let's just consider the importance of that book. Let the youngest child here today understand this, that the book in your hand is a living book. If believed, it will transform your life. And if believed, it'll save your soul. I want you to notice here, first of all, that this was a different book. Moses sprinkles the book with blood. And then he sprinkles all the people. Now, in the days of Moses, and you must remember Moses' upbringing, for he was brought up in the wisdom of Egypt. And so there would have been many books or scrolls considering his environment. Yet when he sprinkled this book, he differentiated it, identified it, different from every other book. This was no ordinary book. This was different from any book that had ever been written, or ever would be written, or ever will be written. It being sprinkled with blood testifies to its uniqueness. Now, the sprinkling with blood, that was an act of consecration. And what Moses was doing here was this. When he took the book, he sprinkles it with the blood, he was consecrating it, he was setting it apart as different from every other book. And of course, the Bible is unique in that it is different. It is separate from all other books of the world, past, present, and future. And the amazing thing is this, that the Bible is still the best-selling book every year. Now, it's different for different reasons. First of all, because of its source. You see, in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 4, there the Bible says, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." You see, Moses may have been the person who put the words on paper and into a book, but he was not the author. He was simply writing down what God told him and spoke to him. The Lord is the author of all his word. And therefore, the word of God is to be treated differently than any other book. I know some people in their home, their Bible, they would never ever set anything on top of the scriptures. They treat it as a holy book. Moses was merely recording what God had said to him. So that book was different for this reason: its source, it came from God, not from Moses. The Bible is a different book from all other books that you and I will ever possess. For this reason, it's the only God-written book. It's the only God-given word. Paul, when he addressed young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verse 16, said this, that all scripture... And we must remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that it is God-breathed. And the Bible is a God-breathed book. Augustine, one of the church fathers, he said this, the Bible is a volume of letters from the heavenly country. And John Burgeon, he said, the Bible is none other than the voice of him that sitteth upon the throne. There used to be a program on the radio, and I'm old enough to remember it, and I know looking at some of you, you will be too. It was called Letter from America. And when you read this, this is a letter from heaven. So everything it has to say is of the utmost importance. Spurgeon said this: the Bible is none other than the voice of him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it is the direct utterance of the Most High. The Bible is not only different, it's different because of its source, but it's also different because of its strength. The strength of the Bible is emphasized in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And there we read these words: for the word of God is quick. That means it's living. And that differentiates it from every other book. It's a living book. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One commentary puts it this way and says, other books will inform us, and some books will reform, but it's only this book that can transform. And the message of the Bible is a transforming message. And again, let me say, anyone here and you don't know Christ, you have a love for God's house, you have a respect for God and God's word, and my friend, if you yield your life to the Savior and to the teaching of this word, it will transform your life. You see, there's no other book that can make the claim that the Bible makes. And the claim is this, that it is the word. All other books are the words of fallible men and women. And there is no other book that can do what the Bible does. It transforms our lives. It convinces and it convicts us of our sin. And informs and transforms. And of course, can lead us to the light. Someone rightly said this: its source, which is the Lord himself, is its force. That makes the book different. But not only is the book different, and it was so with Moses, because he differentiated the book from all others, he sprinkled it with the blood. Then you'll notice it is a divine book in that he's writing down what God says. It comes with divine authority because it comes from God himself. And when Moses sprinkled the book with blood, he was consecrating this book in the eyes of the people. He was declaring the book to be a holy book. Consecrated. Anything and everything associated with God was deemed holy. And when Moses sprinkled the altar with the blood, he was consecrating the altar as holy. When he sprinkled the people with the blood, he was setting them apart as a holy people unto the Lord. When he sprinkles the book, he's announcing that this is a holy book. No other book like it. Now, in response of the people to Moses reading the words of the Lord, the Bible says in Exodus 24 and 3, and it shows the sacredness of the book. It says, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, the Christian church would be a different Christian church. If every one of us did everything that the Lord said. And we have fallen into days of awful apostasy and darkness because there has been an abandoning of God's word. And that shows itself and manifests itself universally in a great departure from God. The blood sprinkled book made that book sacred in the eyes of the people, a book that evoked the utmost reverence from the people, and of course their response indicates how the people saw that blood sprinkled book. They said, all of the words that the Lord has said, we'll do. Now, thinking about the divine book and how they saw it, first of all, as the authority of their life. We live in a world where people want to be their own person, doing their own thing, going their own way, being their own man. Or, as one singer put it in one of his songs, I did it my way. Well, that's when it all goes wrong, when we do it our way. But the people of Moses' day, they wanted to do it God's way. They wanted to obey all that the Lord said in his book because they saw it, first of all, as the authority of their life. They recognized that that book was the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And therefore this book, which is a bloodstained book, we will see in a moment from the very opening in Genesis to the last in Revelation, should be the supreme authority of your life and mine. All that the Lord has said, we will do. There will be a lot of problems avoided in life. That was everyone's response to God's word. It was a book that was to rule their life. A book that was to regulate their living. It was the laws of heaven for life on earth. The Bible is more than a book to be admired and a book to be treasured. That being said, of course, we should treasure God's word. But it's more than a sacred relic. It's a book that they were to be subservient to, and a book that they were to bring their lives under its authority. In other words, they were to live by what the Lord said. And that's how it should be with me. That's how it should be with you. Their every action was to be regulated by the blood-sprinkled book. The tabernacle would be built according to the words of the Lord. Every action of the priest and of the high priest was to be directed by the Lord. Everything about their life was to be subordinate to the word of the Lord. All that we do as a Christian and all that we are as a church is to be authorized by the word of God. Now, the scriptures, of course, are to be prominent in everything. The scriptures are to be prominent in every Sunday school lesson. They're to be prominent in every sermon in the pulpit. They're to be prominent in every service in a church. We must let the Bible regulate our lives, our every action and our every practice. We're to live by the book. Now that's what the people of Moses' day said. Whatever the Lord has said, they were going to live by that. Martin Luther said, never mind the scribes. What saith the scriptures? For we must make our decisions in life by what saith scriptures. John Calvin, he said, the Bible is the scepter by which the heavenly King rules his church. The Bible is the authority of all that we do, of all that we are, as a church and as a believer. And that's how the people of Moses' day saw it. They saw it not only as the authority of their life, but they also saw it as the priority of their life. The Bible says there in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, he took the book of the covenant, read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And it doesn't matter what service is rendered if there is not that obedient heart. So they heard, they saw what God said. And they saw it not only as the authority of their life, but being obedient to its commands, it now was the priority of their life. And that should be the priority of a believer's life, to obey the Lord. Trust and obey, we often sing. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so the book in our hand today, the Bible, the Word of God, is a book to be obeyed. When we read the scriptures, we will discover that what God says in its pages should be a priority in every person's life, especially God's people. We must put importance, significance on what's said in this book. John Wanamaker, a very, very wealthy American businessman, one of the top in America, and he said this, in my lifetime, I have made many, many very big purchases. But the greatest purchase I ever made was made when I was a boy of 12 years of age, when I bought a Bible. He said, that was my greatest purchase ever. For that Bible made me what I am. You see, the Word of God is to make us what we are, and we are to be what the Word of God makes us. Its truths are to be believed. Its commands are to be obeyed. We should adhere to the Scriptures. It is God's Word to us. And while over 40 human authors were involved in writing down the scriptures, they wrote the mind of God, not their own thoughts. And this book is different. It's God's book. But one last thought, folks. Not only was the book a different book, blood sprinkled and blood stained, a divine book, God-given, it was a distinct book, sprinkled with the blood. The Bible tells us there that he dipped the hyssop in the basin of blood and then sprinkled the blood on the book, and it would forever be a blood-stained crimson book marked by the blood. All was associated with the blood. And friend, the scriptures in your hand is a blood-stained book that forever defines our faith with blood. Notice the repetitive theme of the book. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, as we've all already intimated, every page of the Bible is stained with blood. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did God do? He shed innocent blood. You see, Adam and Eve sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But God made them coats of skin, so he shed innocent blood and made a covering for them. It's the same word as atonement. For the word atone means to cover over. And when God shed innocent blood, fleeced the beast to cover over their nakedness. At Calvary's cross, Jesus shed his blood to make a covering for our sin. He made atonement for us. In Genesis 4, we find two brothers, Cain and Abel. And they bring their offerings to present them before God, and Cain's offering was rejected, but God had respect to Abel's offering, which was a lamb that was slain and the blood was shed. And Abel was accepted because of the blood. When God delivered his people from the land of Egypt, what were they to do? They were to kill a lamb, they were to take its blood, they were to sprinkle the doorposts of their house. And God said, when I see the blood, friend, I want you to get this. Dear man or woman or young person without Christ, if you were to die today in your sin, God would not accept the fact that you were a free Presbyterian. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And in the New Testament, we find the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross, shedding his blood. You see, the Bible is all about the blood. Salvation is through the blood. You and I are saved by the blood. You and I are cleansed by the blood. And the message of the blood is a repetitive message throughout the entire scriptures. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Can't be saved without the blood. Not only is it a repetitive theme of the Bible, but it's the redemptive truth of the book. For there in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we read together, but all things by the law, for almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Sorry, verse 22. The blood of Abel's offering, the blood of Abraham's sacrifice, the blood of every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to one thing. That was the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross. Peter puts it this way. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Paul, on another occasion, he declares of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This book is different from every book. It has a divine author, a heavenly origin, and its central message is that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has made a way for you and me to be saved. That is, through the shedding of his blood, through his death on the cross, for he gave himself as an eternal sacrifice for us. By his blood, he paid the price of sin. Through his blood, we are saved and redeemed. And to put it into the words of the hymn writer when he said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing." And what can make me whole again? But the blood. Nothing but the blood. And so this is a blood-sprinkled book. It runs red with redemption because it's sprinkled with the blood. Friend, you may know your Bible, but do you know its author? And for those of us who do know its author, we should cherish this book. It transforms lives. It changes homes. And the Bible said, of course, speaking of Timothy, that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. And there's many in Ulster today, and many in Six Mile Cross and in County Tyrone, could echo those words, "From a child we have known the Holy Scriptures," that are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's people, and they're running hither and thither throughout the world, and they're reading the, what is it, in the paper, the stars, whatever it is. They're trying to find something of their future. Friend, it's all here. You want to know how this world began? It's here. You want to know how this world will end? It's here. You want to know how you can be saved? It's here. It's all in God's word. And all that you and I as a Christian has to do is obey that book. It'll bring endless blessing to our lives. God's word. And we should seek to saturate our life in it. That on a daily basis. And may God make his word very, very precious in us.